What else did you do when you got back from Kenya?
Well, the other thing I did was have my third and last baby. And that really made me get involved in diabetes and pregnancy. I had always been interested in it, but the way things worked out, I was still working part-time, and indeed I always work part-time. And the pregnancy clinic was on a Wednesday morning, and I didn't normally go in on a Wednesday morning. But when I was pregnant myself, everybody was coming to me and saying, oh, you're pregnant, won't you look after me, tell me about pregnancy. And so I changed my morning so that I would work on a Wednesday morning. And at the same time as that, when I was going to see children's, I used to go to some of the lectures there. And Jim Farker, who'd been very interested in the infant of the diabetic mother, indeed had done his MD thesis on that, gave a lecture on diabetes and pregnancy. And I will never forget that lecture because he said, in the centres of excellence, of which Edinburgh is certainly not one, the perinatal mortality is falling dramatically. And I thought, oh dear. And so at that time, people were being seen in the clinic in the Royal Infirmary. They were then going across the Simpson Maternity Memorial Pavilion, which is only 5 minutes' walk. It was in the same grounds, but the two didn't really meet very much. They saw a very kind, very good obstetrician in the Simpson, but there was no liaison between the two departments. At that time, the obstetrician was retiring, and a new young obstetrician was given the job, Dr. John Parbusing, of looking after the people with diabetes. He didn't know a great deal about it, nor did I. So Jim Farker gave us all his books, one of which I've still kept because I think it's rather precious, on the early days of diabetes and pregnancy. The other thing we did was we went back 20 years through all the records of pregnancies in the Simpson, and it was disastrous. The perinatal mortality, that is stillbirths plus deaths in the first 10 days of life, was running at about 35%, which is dreadful. So we went through the notes to see if any of these deaths had been avoidable. And there were many things that could have been avoided. There were people going into ketoacidosis because their diabetes wasn't very good. There were junior obstetricians dealing with deliveries. There were a lot of problems. And we made a list of the things that we thought we could improve. And it was also clear that one of the things that really needed to be improving was control of diabetes. And so we started to control the diabetes. But at the same time, it had become clear in other centres particularly that as their perinatal mortality was coming down, one of the problems that was left was the very high incidence of congenital malformations. We also had a high incidence of congenital malformations, but we were having lots of other deaths for other reasons as well. And we thought, really, it looks as if we've got to control diabetes before pregnancy, because a baby is all formed in the first few weeks of pregnancy. By the time somebody would normally come to an antenatal clinic at 6 to 8 weeks, then you can see the fetal heart beating. The baby is really almost fully formed. And it was clear to us that if we were to do anything about that, and it seemed logical to do that, we would need to get them really well controlled before they got pregnant. And in 1974, we began to talk about a pre-pregnancy clinic, and it was really up and running quite well by 1976. I think it was probably the first pre-pregnancy clinic that was started anywhere. It wasn't just to improve control. It was to improve the diet, to look for complications and treat them if necessary, to see what drugs somebody was on, if they were appropriate, to check their thyroid function, and to talk about any gynecological problems clearly that they'd had in the past. So there were many things that we did at that clinic in addition, but to improving control, the main thrust was to improve diabetes control.